Welcome to episode 59 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. This episode is a recording of a February 2024 WordPress Accessibility Meetup where Daniel Zaccaro, founder of Overnight Website and Kinetic Iris, reviews current website trends we should be avoiding for accessibility and for other reasons. WordPress Accessibility Meetups take place via Zoom webinars twice a month and anyone can attend. For show notes, a full transcript, and additional information about meetups, go to accessibilitycraft.com/059. And now, on to the show.
So I'm excited to welcome Daniel Zaccaro back to speak with y'all. Daniel has spoken previously and also was part of the WordPress Accessibility Day organizing team last year and this year. So I've gotten to know them pretty well and really appreciate their contribution to accessibility. Daniel partners with agencies, entrepreneurs, large and medium business owners in complementary fields to implement their marketing plans and strategies, specializing in custom WordPress websites. Along with developing websites for agencies and small businesses, Daniel has a passion for helping entrepreneurs finish their websites so they can start making money. And Daniel has an amazing website that I love that has like neon on it. And I noted behind you, I'm just going to say this in case anyone can't see it, that you have like your neon of your logo on the wall behind you. So I feel like before you dive in, and I'm going to stop sharing and let you take that over, I want to hear how you got someone to make a neon of your logo, because that's really cool.
Yeah, so I sort of really liked the aesthetic of neon just in general. So it wasn't like I was like, I want a neon sign, so let me make my branding neon. It was definitely like, I really like this. And my fiance is a designer, a graphic designer. And so she was the one who sort of put the whole brand together. It was really nice. And I was like, how can I not make this into a neon sign? And so there's places online that you can get custom ones done. And it's not like real, it's like little plastic sort of like tubing that you can, you know, I have like a fancy one that adjusts the brightness of it and everything. And so it's pretty cool because I can like turn all the lights out and sort of have this really nice bright neon. And then, or I can have it, you know, really bright, turn it nice and bright behind me. It is difficult to light though, because I have to adjust the different lighting around me so that I'm still visible while the neon's still visible. But yeah, there's just a place online that you can go and get one made. It's on the expensive side because you're not getting just like, you know, a random word that, you know, somebody put together for you. It is custom, but I was like, I can't not have it. So
I love it. So it's like a moon and a circle.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the O for the overnight website, and then it has that moon around it. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we are very excited to have you here. I'm going to let you share your screen. And for everyone who is watching, if you have questions, if you can put those in the Q&A panel, then we will address those at the end.
Yeah, so I'm just sharing the whole screen because we're going to do some, I took some screen recordings earlier. I do have my whole desktop as the overnight website logo as well. I just love it so much. Anyway, so I'll go ahead and start presenting now. It'd be helpful if I started from the first slide. There we go. So we're talking about trends to avoid in 2024. And I set out on a quest to read as many roundups as I could. There's quite a few. Some of them are more design focused. Some of them are like print based or advertising based, but there seems to be a consensus between a lot of them. And so I tried to distill that down into the main trends that we're seeing. And so some of the aspects of them are better avoided. And some of them, as we'll go over, can be done with a little bit of care. And so we'll dive into these. I think sometimes trends are like fashion, right? You have these runways and fashion shows and things, and they're these outrageous, crazy things that people are, you know, wearing that are not practical. You're not going to see somebody walking down the street wearing them, but it's then distilled down into sort of the general trends that are meant for, you know, overall consumption by, you know, us as the general public. But I think because things have gotten easier and easier to implement, there's not as much distilling going on. And the platforms that we're all using to build our websites are making it easier and easier to do these things. And that means that we have to use even more critical thinking skills when we go to implement these, because just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. Now, I've used this slide before in a previous presentation I had, but it just fits so well. It says, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. And that is by Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park. It's just so applicable to everything that we do. We just have to put a lot of thought into what we're doing. And, you know, just because we can, does that mean we should? And I think if you can answer that question honestly with a yes, then you can go about implementing things in a nice, accessible, you know, easy to use way. So if we jump right in to the main theme of 2024, that would be animation. And that's what sort of prompted my need to dive deeper into this, is I started seeing more and more of these like marquees. I was like, wait, we stopped this. And marquees deprecated. Why is this happening? Why are we here? We're back to marquees, really? And, you know, even though the HTML tag of a marquee is not in use anymore, not supported, it seems that a lot of the platforms feel that this is something that is fun and should be used and can be implemented so easily on so many sites. And so I ended up doing this YouTube video on, you know, trends that should be avoided. And that's what, again, started this whole thing. But yeah, I'm seeing a lot of marquees. And that then made it even more, make even more sense when I read into some of these roundups about how, you know, retro and Y2K and all of these sort of nostalgic aesthetic that was coming back. Well, okay, so that makes a little bit more sense, I guess. So these are the two trends that are coming together that I'm seeing more and more of, and that these roundups seem to be mentioning a lot. And the retro thing is sort of showing up in a lot of different ways. They're calling it Y2K, they're calling it like modern brutalism, or I don't know. There's like all kinds of like old trends that are coming back that people are giving creative names for. And so I think it's important to look at these two things together because they're informing each other about how they're being used. And it's almost like we're taking things that were retro and slightly problematic in terms of accessibility and being able to use the site, and then making it even more complex by adding in animation to it. So if we dive into our, you know, animation summary overall trend, like I said, it's so easy to add animation to sites now. We have page builders, plugins, you know, all kinds of platforms, even outside of WordPress, just make it so easy to do these things. And it makes it more likely that people are going to add things to the site. Oh, you can do this and it fades in. That's fun. I mean, if you think about when I don't know what generation everybody's a part of. I don't know if they still do this now, but when I was growing up as a millennial, it was, oh, we can have slideshows that have spinning animations and sounds come in and things blow up and, you know, all kinds of stuff happening. And it was like, how many things can I shove into this 5-minute presentation on, you know, microorganisms or whatever in biology class? And so if you think about somebody getting their hands on the Microsoft PowerPoint for the first time, seeing all these things you can do and shoving it all in there, that's what starts to happen with some of these sites, because it's fun, right? I'm putting the site together and I get to do all these things that I wouldn't be able to do without it. But when you think about people who are actually using the site, is it just as fun for them to use a site that is flying all over the place? Is when you grew up a little bit and realized that I need to put together this presentation for, you know, my weekly meeting with my coworkers, am I still throwing in all of these random animations? So it's just, when you grow up a little bit, start to use a little bit of, you know, critical thinking about these things, it's fun to add, but is it really necessary? Is it actually bringing things to the table? A lot of places that are doing these trend roundups tend to talk about how they're great they are. That's just sort of the vibe that they take with it. And so they talk about, you know, time on site, and it makes it more engaging. And I still have yet to find any actual evidence that that's the case. I am super open to being proven wrong. And I'd love for somebody to bring me some kind of evidence that, you know, these fade-ins and scroll journeys that you get taken on and all these things that are happening on these sites, do they really actually make people more engaged, or do they kind of just sit on the page because they have to wait for your words to load? Most of the time I just leave. I just can't take it. So I'd be really curious to have more data on this stuff, but as we know, you know, flashing and blinking should be, you know, avoided for all kinds of reasons, but the animations that can be distracting or annoying or trigger motion sensitivity, things that when you're scrolling on a phone, that's a different experience than when you're, you know, on a desktop computer that's, you know, a foot away from your head and not like on this tiny screen. Any of that stuff should really be well considered and should be thought out with some kind of reasoning behind it, right? So the slides that I'm using on here have a really subtle, you know, animation between the slides. I think that eases you into this really giant, you know, if you're watching this full screen, you know, to have a really abrupt switch, maybe that's, you know, a little jarring. So I have this really subtle animation. That's something that could be useful. And you could at least argue that it's doing something. So if we head into a little bit of a list here, we have, in terms of animation, what are we talking about? I mentioned marquees. You have horizontal and vertical. I've seen the marquees that scroll up and down on a site that are sort of automatically scrolling, especially ones that have links inside of them that you're trying to, you know, hover at exactly the right time or follow along and click on stuff, and it pauses when you hover over it. It's just so complex. And is it worth it to make it move? And then you have those JavaScript things that'll type out words or switch them out. I am guilty of that on my first, I think it was like my first website that I built custom. I thought it was like the coolest thing because it's like I'm typing it out and talking to you. But that's, again, that's the perpetual motion idea that, you know, is it really bringing something to the table, or is it just confusing things and muddying your message? Scroll-based animations, as I said, you have those things where like you're telling a story with it, or you have things that are in the background, or you have things that are, it's like sort of this parallax. Again, we're mixing that retro with this, you know, animation. It's like a resurgence of parallax. And then we have scroll-based animations, really excessive or unnecessary hover effects that are happening. That can be really disorienting. And then again, splash pages are coming back too. It's this like, and you sort of question, it's one thing if it's a web-based, you know, program that like a progressive web app that you have, that you're actually loading a ton of stuff and you have to have somebody pause to load some stuff before they can do something. But I've seen sites that on every page of their site, they have the splash page and it stays there for the same amount of time. Now, I know that it's not going to take that long to load what you have on that page. There's just no way. And so it's just this really easy to implement splash page that somebody's added to every single page of their site for really no practical reason. And then again, as I'm mentioning these retro things, these are things that we thought we left behind, the things that I sort of celebrate at the time. And then you're like, oh yeah, the world is cyclical and trends come back. And so these are all things that are really hard to turn off based on existing user preferences. You know, a marquee, you can turn it off, you can respect all that stuff, but like words are going to get cut off. Or I've seen sites that sort of jump around because they're just not well implemented. The animation part of this seems to be the main way that these sort of retro trends become new, as well as just sort of replicating that look and feel. That animation seems to be the way we're updating these things. It's no longer just this like really simple, you know, GIF that's blinking or making lightning or things. It's just this really complex animation that we're adding on to these retro feelings. I find the layouts to be very unintuitive. They tend to have really hard to see text over something that's really busy. Almost every retro site that I tested has a pretty deep lack of screen reader support. Some of that is going to be the biggest issue. So some of that can be mitigated by providing an equivalent experience. But just as with the return of the marquee, anything retro needs to be seen through that accessibility lens. So we have,
You might be going to do this, but I just wanted to flag for you. There's a couple of people that were wondering if you had visual examples of some of the animations because they couldn't quite picture what you were saying. And I don't know if you totally have some to show in just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to go over some of the concepts first. And I know it's a lot up front, but I will re-mention a lot of this as I go over the examples. So you don't have to remember all this to recall it necessarily, but I want to just introduce the concepts so that you at least are familiar with them. So we will totally, after this slide, actually, we will go over some of the few examples for it.
Great. Thanks so much. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no problem. So some of those retro Y2K things, auto-playing videos for a while there. I don't know if this is technically a retro thing or if it's just an animation thing. But for a while there, we sort of had auto-playing videos everywhere. And I thought that we had kind of moved away from that, but it's coming back. As well as now this new thing about having these paused videos. It's basically just a thumbnail, but it's this moving thumbnail. I guess that it's to draw your attention to play it. But again, that those are really hard to pause because it's not a video. So you have to put in a specific query to do that. So it's just these really complex things that you're having to do. Again, that bright, bold, vibrant colors and patterns and shapes, you have to use them smartly. And you have to make sure that just because something passes a color contrast test doesn't mean it's pleasant to look at. You have these really bright colors that you need to provide an alternate experience for, because sometimes I just can't look at it. And so I need something that is either a dark mode that's not just a dark mode, but like a tone it down mode. So yeah, you have these bright, bold colors. Again, that I mentioned that parallax scrolling, but now we have moving parts. Somebody called it an atmospheric scroll. So again, we're sort of creating new names for things that were once, old trends. We're just giving them new names and calling them retro. I've also heard animation stimulation and loop scrolling. So all of these things are all just fancy names for things that we've already seen. Somebody used the phrase extravagant loading screens. Again, that's those splash pages, but they're no longer just this animated logo or a quick little load bar. There's just so many moving elements. And I'm not even on the site yet to be able to determine I'm sort of a situational reduced motion, user. I'll turn that on and off as I need it, but I haven't even gotten your site yet to determine if I need to turn it off, and you're already sort of assaulting my eyes and my brain. And the way that the sites handle that, a lot of times, like a screen reader will start reading the site before it's even done with the loading screen. So I'm not getting that same experience. Is that okay? Is that not okay? I don't know. It's just a lot that needs to go into these testings. And then again, what do we have now? Changing the cursor. But we're not just changing the cursor to some cute little, like little picture of a bumblebee or something. We've now changed the cursor to try to be helpful, to indicate that you can scroll through something or drag something around or be pretty and fancy and, kind of like when you would move your cursor around and it would have those like sparkles that would follow it. We're sort of doing this, changing the cursor on this whole new level. So with all of these examples and all of these things, so we're going to go into some practical examples. I want to preface this by saying these all have motion. If that's something that bothers you, I would look away, and I will say when we're done with these examples so that you can sort of head back into the slideshow with us. But these are all things that I did beforehand so that I can describe to you what's going on with them and what's sort of the issue with them.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. A WordPress native tool, Accessibility Checker provides reports directly on the post-edit screen. Reports are comprehensive enough for an accessibility professional or developer, but easy enough for a content creator to understand. Accessibility Checker is an ideal tool to audit existing WordPress websites, find accessibility problems during new builds, or monitor accessibility and remind content creators of accessibility best practices on an ongoing basis. Scans run on your server, so there are no per-page fees or external API connections. GDPR and privacy compliant, real-time accessibility scanning. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to a paid version of Accessibility Checker to scan custom post types and password-protected sites. View site-wide open issue reports and more. Download Accessibility Checker free today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code accessibilitycraft to save 10% on any paid plan.
So the first one up that we have here is a marquee. One thing I did notice with a lot of these sites is, oh yes, they have a skip to content link, but it doesn't actually work. So first we're on this site, I think it's called Behave, and you know, we've reached this slider that doesn't totally work. You can go to the next arrow, but then you have to go back to be able to see the stuff on the slide. It's, you know, animation isn't just the only dynamic thing that's a trend. Obviously, we've had these sliders. They don't seem to be going anywhere. So I don't know if that can be considered a trend for 2024, but it's consider if you actually need it. It just complicates things. But anyway, so we're heading down this page. We're going down because, again, I was on a piece of the site and it brought me back to the top. So we've finally reached our marquee and we're going through the elements, but I don't see my focus anywhere. Okay, so I'm going to keep going. Every so often, one of these little gummy flavors jumps out at you. So I'm like, is that where my cursor is? Oh no, here we go. I've made it to the what I'm assuming is the middle of the marquee, and it's just going through. I can't even see if I've done this one yet because the marquee isn't taking into consideration repeated elements. And so I'm totally stuck on this marquee and am I ever going to get past it? Yes, there are shortcuts to be able to go to a different element on the page, right? We have like skip to the next heading, skip to the next link. We have all these things, but if I just want to, I'm like, okay, maybe I like this heading, meet the flavors, totally. What flavors do you have? And now I'm stuck in this marquee that is just repeating elements. And that's one of the most common issues that I've seen with the marquee. But if you notice, as I'm going through those elements, it's still scrolling. So there's tons of considerations that you have to take into account when you have these marquees. And just because it is something that maybe isn't as integral to the site, maybe it's like a decorative element or it's a, you know, something that is just fancy that you're scrolling across the screen, you still have it on the screen for a reason. So you have to provide some kind of alternative thing. And at that point, would it just be easier and more user-friendly if I just had a grid of those flavors? And then when you hover it over it, maybe it, you know, zoomed in at you. I don't think it needs that shake. I don't think it, you know, I've never been a fan of that little shake thing that it does to draw your attention to something. But if that's something, see, I find that really distracting. And I'm like, but I'm over here reading about this little red gummy bear. Why are you shaking this green star at me? So you have to sort of consider all of the angles of these marquees. And then not only that, but it's scrolling. There's just so much going on. So that's an example of a screen reader having a ton of trouble with a marquee, but also like just me as a person just having trouble with this marquee. There is no way that I am looking at that going, oh yeah, that totally makes you want to explore all these things. So I'm someone that has OCD. And so when I look at this, I want to make sure that I get all the flavors. How many do we have? So now I have to, you know, sit here and try to figure out, okay, so there's the red gummy bear and the red gummy bear. And then the orange one comes after the orange one. And then, okay, so maybe it's the whole, so I'm just, there's just stuff that my brain does without me intending it two, that I just, in order to conserve sort of brain energy, I'm just scrolling past that. I'm like, give me a page that has a list of flavors or something. So again, that's one of the more sort of functional marquee elements. Sometimes it's just this scrolling sentence that we'll see as well, that again, I don't think has any value and doesn't, I find it really distracting. And I'd really love to, I did sort of a really informal poll with not very many respondents that I had one person say that they liked them out of probably a dozen. So again, very small sample size, but I think we need to do more research on these things before we just start using them because somebody said that they're neat. So we have another one. This is sort of a hero area with these two icons that are just constantly moving around. And so now I'm supposed to, one is behind the text and one is in front of the text. Are those things that I'm supposed to try to click on? Is that going to take me to a page or should I just read this and scroll on? Okay, I'm having a really hard time focusing on what you're saying because these things are moving. So again, it's these things that people implement because it seems really fun, right? You're like, oh, cool. So we're, you know, we're fun and passionate and we have this fun purple background and, you know, let's show everyone how fun we are. Okay, but people still have to use the site. So that's, again, another sort of animation side of things, that that perpetual motion that is just really problematic. This is an example of a website that is typing out words. Now, not only is this typing out words, it's typing out multiple lines of words that is pushing the screen down. Now, if you're lower on the screen, is that going to push down everything up and down as you're reading it? Or is it accounting for that in this area? There's like three or four different problems I can see with this without even having to scroll down the page. And I have to not only read this, but I have to read this fast enough to be able to see it before it disappears. So that's just all kinds of cognitive speed. You know, I don't want to work. I don't want to have to work to read the content on your website. We're already only scanning the content of websites anyway. So you want to make it really easy for the people to do things. And a lot of times these animations will end up delaying that. This next example is a load animation, but also on scroll. So these scroll animations tend to need to be scrolled at a certain speed in order to see all of the content before you scroll away, if you know what I mean. So this one has a marquee that I didn't even see because I just scrolled. I'm trying to just read your products. So we load on the page here. It's got loading in boxes. We scroll right past a marquee that I just don't have time to sit here and read. And then we have like boxes that are fading in. And as long as I pause, the background color will come in and I can see the content. There's like all these conditions that I have to do in order to properly use your site. So here's another site that may be one that does it slightly better, but it also, you can't really tell here, but it did hijack my scroll speed a bit because it's trying to, however it's implementing its animation, it's also decided to scroll me slower, which I don't enjoy. But so we're scrolling down and they have this box here with words in a weird loopy line that I can't see, read once it goes over this image that's in the box, but it's moving at the speed at which I'm scrolling. They also have sliders and accordions, and I had to scroll up to even see what was working. The arrow didn't get grayed out, so it's not, you know, an infinite rotating slider. It's we've scrolled down now, and at the very specific spot that I had stopped it, there was an icon with an image that was over the text. This is all just complicating people being able to use your site, all in the name of like, this is fun and exciting, I guess. All of this, you're sort of missing out on the fun playfulness of this site and the vibe and the brand because you're making it harder to use. All of these icons and stuff, that was another one that was brought up, is like the use of illustrations and icons and scrapbook type feel for things, but you have to do it in a way that people are going to want to read your stuff. So this next one is a really common pattern. It's got like a video playing in the back of the header hero area. And then it's got words on top of it. it's going for the retro vibe. Now, the really disappointing thing is this really could be a great retro vibe, right? We've updated it with, you know, a more updated like layout. It looks, it doesn't look all shoved into this tiny screen. It doesn't, it's updated the vibe of the retro-ness of it. It feels retro, but new, but it's got this stuck marquee at the top. It's got this video in the background that I just can't, it's very busy. And now you have a second marquee that's now competing with the top one, maybe. And then, so if we go back to and turn on accessibility, the screen reader, and I try to go through this, a lot of it just doesn't translate well because of the layout. And so this is the kind of thing, obviously the items that I'm going through using the screen reader indicate that they're using some kind of overlay. So that's obviously hindering things. And it's sort of a proof of concept of just because you have this overlay does not mean that the site is accessible in any way. All of these stars for their rating have image, as you know, there's no alt text or it's not hidden. This is just like figure one, you know, figure two, figure three. Well, what are you talking about? Like person in swimsuit, is that, so now we're going on these like weird tipped things and, oh, okay. So when I hover, it indicates on the left that which one in the key that I've clicked on. So I'm hovering over, you know, this scented candle, and then the little key part of my screen is changing its color and its tab to indicate that that's what I'm hovering over. But you're not showing me that. I have to go through these images and then go through this key. Nothing is aligning with each other. And so this, I found this to be kind of a really awkward experience in the screen reader. They have these like, again, this marquee thing that wasn't scrolling on its own. And so it's like skipping over some of those logos. It started off screen, so I didn't know where I was. Again, with this figure thing, there's just this really cool retro vibe that could have been good. And some of this stuff really actually probably could be fixed too, but you'd really have to take into consideration that experience of those things. And we're gonna go into one of the layout issues in a quick minute. This is a quick example of Squarespace having that thumbnail that's moving on its own, but I have no way of pausing that. And if I click on it to maybe that'll pause it, it just takes me to that page. And it's got things that are scrolling inside of it. But yeah, so the ultimate thing here is that thumbnail that I have no way of pausing, and obviously doesn't respect my reduced motion settings. But what if I'm just a person that doesn't want to be distracted by this thing, right? So we have four more quick animation examples. This is just a quick parallax example where you have bubbles scrolling, but then the cans. So this is very retro in that it looks almost exactly like those old parallax things that just, we got rid of it for a reason. People were just scrolling through because it was fun to scroll through, and they're not retaining or looking at anything that you're actually doing with your content or your calls to action on the site. This one here is the load screen. It's taking forever. They have this logo that cycles through twice on every page, no matter what. And then you have these colors that fold in, and then an animation at the top. And then when you scroll, this logo does all kinds of like animation things, and you can't get past it. There's no way to get past it. And now we're on a screen where all of the things are all animating at the same time. And then if we finally get to a place where I cannot look at that anymore. Oh, but look, when I hover over it, it moves, and my cursor changes too. So this is, it's like, this one probably should have been a showcase thing that we don't actually implement on a site that we're intending people to use with any kind of, you know, full intention. So this one is an example of the sort of cursor changing. So sometimes I'll read and use my cursor to like follow along what I'm doing, especially when the text is small or big like that. It's got this weird string thing that's following my cursor around. So I can't use my cursor to read the words without having this thing follow me. And so I found that really distracting. And then they have this cursor thing that is attempting to help me, but it's got these sort of indistinguishable icons. So do I click? Do I drag? I don't understand. And then it tells you to, you know, click. on, well, yeah, I'd hope so. It's a cursor. It just, it already tells me when to click on something. So again, it's got, you know, color issues, and it has this thing that you drag, which is fun and nice, but does that have any kind of, like, is there a purpose to that? Or is it just a fun thing that you threw in that people can't always use? It's, I don't quite understand why these things are there, right? And then our last one is our sort of animation load scroll with another thing that does icons. So it's got all these icons that all load independently, and it all shakes around and does whatever. And then they move when I scroll, and then the rest of the site. Oh, and then it has, oh wait, I scrolled too fast and I missed all of that words that were just there. And now these icons are here. If I use, you know, a screen reader to try to go through this, I don't know if this one does it. Let's see. It might go through each one of the icons. Okay, so it's rather than provide an alternative thing, or like what is the purpose of these icons? What are you trying to convey with that? There's something that a visual user has this whole hero area to look at, but I'm just skipping right past it as a screen reader user. And so if I'm somebody, but then I've also seen the opposite of that, where people are just going image, 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 and they have to go through every single image that's in there. So these scrapbook icon things that have these scroll, it all makes it really complicated. And so I'm talking about all these things, right? So if we go back to our slideshow here, and you can rejoin us if animation is an issue for you. So we're avoiding that, right? But what if we want to include some of that? We want a retro vibe. We want some animation. How do we do that? Okay, well, let's just think a little deeper about it. Why? Give a good reason why you're adding something like that to the site. What can you pull from those things and make these types of designs modern? Improve upon them, make them more accessible. How can you include these sensible, unobtrusive animations and micro interactions that are actually guiding your user, that are helping them, that is making it more pleasant for them, rather than throwing up all of these roadblocks and giving them just tons of issues? Those retro things are super fun to look at, but what's going to keep somebody there? I get that you're, you know, going for branding, and that's nice, but if everything else that you're doing is just making it more complicated, that's not helping your ultimate goal of getting people to like buy products. I get that you want it to look like an old catalog, but how can you make that experience more engaging? So what do you do about it? Well, just try harder, I guess, but not that you're not trying hard, but that you need to put way more thought into these things and have version one be a static version of these things without the animation, without the, you know, things that are causing problems, and then add the things in one at a time. If you wanted to animate this thing or create this grid or do this thing, add it one at a time, do extensive testing. That's what is going to be the key here. When you consider if it's necessary or adds to the experience, like those loading animations or falling objects, you absolutely respect user preferences and do extensive testing with preferences on and off, as well as finding people to use the site, both with disabilities and people without disabilities, because people who don't say that they have disabilities may still need, you know, different needs. Like, you know, somebody who has ADHD maybe might not consider themselves disabled, but when they're using a site, they're going to get distracted by all your stuff, right? Or it's just somebody who's sleepy or who's in the sun or who's doing all of these things and they're scrolling on a phone and it's just disorienting. And so you do some user testing as well. And then, you know, just as a call out for this excessive motion stuff, I think it's really important to consider what the most important thing is to toggle on and off, right? So I have one where I have these animations on my site, right? And I do plan on adding in some like gradient motion and sort of other things. And I want people to be able to turn that off, whether they want their entire computer to stop the excessive motion or not. There are certain things that I like about having my motion on my computer, switching between apps, switching between windows. And when I turn that setting to reduce motion on, that then makes everything less feedback-y on my computer itself. And so I want the option to be able to stop the motion on a website that is doing too much motion. So that's an option to think about at least. think about if it's too much color and you have a ton of like really just vibrant abrasive colors, maybe you turn on a different color setting on your header. You don't want these accessibility widgets, but you do want to give your user the option if you're going all in on one of these things. So really quickly, we're going to just, motor through some of these trends to be careful of. They're not quite trends to avoid. Those are our two main focuses for 2024. We're going to see, that retro vibe with that animation, and it's going to go nuts. Some things to be careful of. Bento grids is sort of an unsuspecting thing that'll have an issue. It's basically a grid of a bunch of rounded corner boxes, and it seems to have minimal content within those boxes. So the issues here are you have to make sure you have proper markup. Should things be in a list? Should it just be text? How many headings should there be? How many images? Is it an image with a video playing in it? You have to think about that content hierarchy. And then one of those gotchas is that, card-based layout kind of thing, just, amplified because everything's in these bento grid boxes. So if you're trying to link an entire box, you have to sort of consider that pattern of having a link inside and then using it as a wrapper link rather than wrapping the whole thing inside of a link. And then keeping your eye on that text over image contrast. And then test the site to make sure that the page works and makes sense. So we're going to go out really quickly and take a look. So again, another example video. This one doesn't quite have a ton of animation, so it shouldn't be as much of an issue, but it's got that retro vibe of really, 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 really bright colors and that bento box thing. And so you have to have, again, another overlay, but you have to have consideration for the way that the content gets read out in these things. So just because it's in an individual box doesn't mean that, oh, well, I guess if it gets read out or it doesn't, it's no big deal. Like, you really have to pay attention. I think one of the big issues with these types of layouts is a lot of times they're being done on platforms that are like drag and drop kind of things that you can drag things around the page. So a lot of the sort of bento box design sites that I loaded have issues with the order of content because it's almost like when you add an element to the page, the site builder or page builder or whatever you're using is specifically setting some kind of Z index to it almost, and or tab index. And then if you were like, okay, I added this, but actually I want to move this one over here and move this one over here, because they're in like a grid, it seems like it should be easy to move around. But then that totally messes up with the tab order because of the way that those page builders are setting up this code. Whereas if you had a page that was sort of not having to use that grid, it doesn't seem to set that tab index. So there's just something to be really careful of when you're doing these grids, where if you're adding them, just tab through the site, make sure that if you have the links, they're in the right order. The headings are all going to need to be in the right order. Here's another one, bento one, that does a scroll marquee as well. If you scroll down the page, we have these like scroll animations that are happening. And then there's this weird thing with like a click, but it's not an actual click, because when I tried to do it with the screen reader or I tried to tab through it, it didn't go to it because they must be doing some kind of click interaction that's not normal. Then you have this really dizzying like triple marquee that are all going in different directions, and I can't read any of that. Like, what is that bringing to this page other than making my eyes hurt? So I'm obviously really critical. You're not going to find people that are this critical, obviously. But, there's a lot of like little videos. It's a bento box design that could be done really well. But eventually, when we go to test it with a screen reader, it's reading these marquees and it's repeating the same sentence three or four times. And because they've then repeated that twice, it's reading that then again, three or four times. And it's not reading it in the correct order because they've added it in a different order. And then if we go on some of these other boxes, it's like going to the bottom and then the top. And here I am trying to be like, how do I click on this? I guess I can't click on this. Okay. So let's, if we try to move on, It's just really confusing to use. Not every screen reader user is a blind user. So I sometimes need to prioritize the order in which I'm doing things so I can follow along with the page, right? So that's just really something to be careful of. And not every bento grid layout is going to end up with these problems. But when you're adding in these other trends that are happening with animation and retro and whatever else, you know, like this is the site, for example, that it was reading through all of these little images. Every single one of these little icons all got read out as image just for no reason. Just so it's where you find one issue, you tend to find a lot more. So if we go into another item here to be careful of, weird typography. We saw some of that with the last bento one I just did, with that click here. You still have to be able to read it. It's kind of like those script fonts. Again, we have, you know, these light and script fonts. This is a trend that seems to have never left. So I don't know if technically it can be considered a trend in 2024 if it's just here to stay, but think about it. Be really careful about what you're doing. So again, weird typography, just use it smartly. Consider it a design element and not text, right? If it's an image that you're adding because the font, there's no font to render really, make sure you're adding that alt text for it. And then for those light scripts and fonts, again, it should really be sparingly and only on large headings. It should just be decorative and an accent and not something that I'm required to read. So if we go through our last couple of examples here, we have this one that I think was more of a showcase. Like I said, those trends like fashion, I think this site is kind of meant to be that way. But if you just think about it, we have this load screen that actually doesn't, I think it only shows on the first time you go there. So at least when I go between pages, it doesn't show up, but you have this weird thing happening with my cursor, and then you have these like bugs that are crawling underneath the cursor. If you think about why I'm coming to this site, I've probably got a pest problem. I don't want to go through all these things. This is fun, but like there's that color change between them again with that really bright colors, those graphic interfaces that are behind it, with those, you know, icons and things. And then when you use a screen reader on these items that we're hovering over, it reads it twice because of the way that it's been implemented. Just that really intense, like this needs a less vibrant alternative to it. And there really isn't one. But yeah, when you try to use the screen reader, you can do it, but it's tough. And then you have these like weird bugs and stuff. Again, because of the way that like, so this section here, each one of these words sort of like faded in slightly after each other. So it sort of like stacked the text in one word after another. And each of these are in span. So when I just went, again, really quickly, there are probably more efficient ways to use a screen reader. I'm not a native screen reader user, but it reads each one of these words separately, because they're all in their own individual elements. And so I have to tab through each and every single one of these words, all for the sake of animation. And so again, I think this might've been more of a showcase site. It is a live site that you're able to go to. I don't know if this is real people. They have a phone number and an email address, but I'm dealing with bugs, right? I've got bugs in my house. I need you to what's your phone number, right? So you have to ultimately go back to that, you know, why do you have a website? What does somebody need when they get here, and how can we give that to them, right? So see what else we have. I think we have three more. This is another page load screen. We've got a little bit of contrast issues and then that typography thing. So it's got this really just excessive screen read. Now, this is more of a showcase for design trends. As I was researching design trends for 2024, I came across this site that is actually sort of embodying all of the trends for 2024. Again, it's like, I don't feel like sitting here waiting for all those words to like fill in. You have these like AI actually was a popular trend, but that could go either way. That's a whole separate discussion, but it's got these like backgrounds that are fading in. It's got this weird typography thing that's spinning in. It's this really long scrolling page. So if I wanted to try to get to another section, I'm going to have to scroll forever. So yeah, it's just an example of like, it's sort of embodying its own trends Which is kind of interesting, but because it has this animation and stuff, I can't highlight over text to read it. Sometimes I do that to help me read. So it's just all these things to take into consideration. One more bento box with typography animation and a cursor situation. So it's got this page load thing, not terrible, but still kind of long. Then we have this like weird sort of reflection happening in the background that I can't pause. You know, that's again, a trend, but it's been around for a while. So I don't know if that's a 2024 thing, but I'd love the trend to be in the opposite direction. It's aside from that, it's really not too bad, you know, that you have this bento box. Ultimately, it's just a grid, right? So I think we're going to see different iterations of that. If we go back a little bit, we see these like, it's just like two columns of stuff outlined, right? So that's like really minimal bento box. I don't know if that's what it's considered. I'm a developer, not a designer. But the thing with this is, even if the buttons that say view article, even if for a screen reader, they were more specific, you still have to go through each and every one of these things to then view the article. And it's kind of long, and you just kind of think through what people are trying to do with these sites. And then this is the, you know, the marquee with the logos that also wasn't super friendly. So this is an example on this site that I'm still on. I refreshed it with the screen reader on, and this is the one where it's like loading, it's like reading the page before the loading screen is done. And so it's like reading through these images, and I'm like, well, what is it reading? I don't understand. And so again, they have this text that says reflection that you can barely read. That's an image, but it's repeated, right? So it's harnessing the power of reflection, and then it's like fancy reflection. So just hide that. You already have the word reflection. So you just have to, if you are going to do these things, you just have to really take a lot of care in what you're doing. And then again, they have like this weird like stacking image animation on it, but it like when I use the screen reader, it like smushed the page over for me to go read the image over here, and then I'm over here. Oh, but we're reading through content that I can't see on the page because you have this animation. So what was happening on the page when I was scrolling through it is I would scroll and the content and image would like scroll in from different directions. But because we're using a screen reader and not a mouse, it's reading through the information on those slides without me being able to see it. So it's like, at least it's not hiding the content from a screen reader, but it's also like kind of a little disorienting if I'm a visual user just, you know, using a screen reader. So it's the animation just makes things so much more complex to implement. And so that's sort of when you have these logos that scroll across the screen like this, if I just stay on one, it's scrolling away. Like, that's just so frustrating to me. So our last one here is sort of who I think is, you know, I don't like putting people or platforms or whatever in a negative light for any reason. I'm a big believer in whatever the tool is that's going to get the job done is the right tool to use. But I find the biggest implementer of these trends to be Showit. And so this is the homepage of Showit. And so not only do they just have so many, like they had all the issues, right? So they have this scrolling marquee that's just so slow. And like, am I supposed to sit here and read all these? Okay, so maybe it's just design. I'll just keep going. They have this other animation that I'm not scrolling any weird way. It's just sort of jolting over, like it's not implementing it right. Then you have these names where like the ones that we're not looking at are grayed out, but then I can hover over them, but I still can't kind of see them. Okay, fine. Now if we scroll a little bit, okay, so it has an autoplay video. I don't care that this video is 10 seconds. It's still autoplaying a video. I don't want it. And then, so we have a little bit of contrast issues. And then, so when I try this, you know, some of these things are really minor, right? But then when I tried with the screen reader, obviously with a platform like Showit, where you basically put something on the page, click and drag it around, that's where you get the most issues with tab order. And so that happened a lot with this site when I tried to use the screen reader with it. And again, it's when you have these little icons in here, you have to know to hide them. So when you make things easier, you're making things more complex for the person to implement them. So Showit makes it super easy to implement these scrolling marquees. but then people are just going to then put more accessibility issues on top of that, that they're, you know, it's just complicating matters. And then, you know, we have this, again, that moving over, because you have things absolutely positioned and scrolling weird. I'm like hitting things that are off the screen and things jump around and I don't get it. And then you have this issue where I'm scrolling and using a screen reader, but it's messing with the animation. And so there's now words on top of words. We go a little bit more. This section, this is their bento box section. And it basically encompasses all the issues that I had mentioned with this, where are we? Why we're on the second box. Okay, now we're at the bottom of the third box and now we're in the middle and now we're back up to the top. And then now we're over to the left. So it just jumps you all over the place. And so it's just really hard. And then it also didn't read through all of them. There was boxes in there that had content in them that I still might want to know about that I didn't get to reach. There were like videos and stuff that were auto-playing that if I clicked on, it would pause it. But that still requires me to take that extra action. They have this... the two spots where the words are switching in and out. And this is a pretty major problem with it. So if I just left the screen reader there and I didn't continue, like maybe I just like paused for one reason or another, it would switch the word. But then if I tried to then continue on the page, it would go backwards to the word that just got replaced. So this is actually toggling me between the two areas of the page that are switching out words back and forth. And so if I don't do it fast enough to get past this, I'm stuck here. So it unsurpassed, unleashed, unprecedented, unblocked, unparalleled, untethered. Oh, how do I get out of like, oh, okay. So I just have to go fast enough. So it's just all these like little things that'll happen when you're throwing in animation that unless you know exactly what you're doing or you know somebody who can help you out with it, it's just, there's just all kinds of issues that you're not going to be able to anticipate because it's so much complexity. So, I mean, that's kind of it for that. We have two things that are great trends. I did see accessibility mentioned on those lists a couple of times. They didn't go into too much detail, but as a trend, quote, I think at least we're moving in the right direction where people are mentioning it as a trend. Hopefully it's a trend that will just continue trending. Again, just as some disclaimers, as far as accessibility goes, that doesn't mean that you stick on an overlay. As we saw, that doesn't help and it doesn't make sites any more usable. You know, add those accessibility statements, let people have a way to contact you if they have problems, build accessibility into your process so that when you do these things or you come across these things or you have a client that is just adamant about adding one of these things, you can build that testing and all of those things that you need to do into your process. It's that progress over perfection that, you know, hopefully that you've heard that before, or if not, that'll just kind of repeat. You don't have to do it all right to start, but you have to at least try to incrementally get better as you go. Learn as you go. Ask questions. Always try to be getting better. The second one that I saw mentioned was dark mode. So that's cool. Let's make sure we're implementing, especially given that we have this really vibrant trend going on. It's good that we will then have a dark mode because some of those are just really bright. So don't just invert it or make white things black. You have to design for it. Decide on whether you're providing a toggle or you're just going to, you know, rely on user settings. Again, I think it's going to depend on your design and your audience and just test everything. That's the thing here. So these trends to avoid, how do you get around it? Well, you test everything. So if you find yourself needing or wanting to implement one of these things, it's not that you can't. We all want to stay up on the trends. We want to do cool things. Just test it and get other people to look at it. We can do fun and great things, but just unless you are committed to making sure that you're doing these things with extra thought and care, I don't think it adds something to the point where if you didn't have it, people would go, well, they don't have animation on their site, so I'm not going to buy their socks. Like, I just don't think it's something that if it were missing, someone would question your integrity as a business, right? So add it in when you have the time, make it a phase two, really put thought into these things. And so that's really going to be it for me today. I'd love to take any questions or hear any comments that anyone has. any personal anecdotes or things that you personally hate about these things or love about them. I'm always here for competing opinions about stuff. So,
hey, that was fabulous. In a scary kind of way. Also, man, that Show It website, I opened it and I was like, I'm going to tab through it. Oh, but first I had to open the style sheet and give it a focus outline because they had turned off their focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do not think I have ever seen worse focus order than I have seen on that site. It is so random.
I know. I saved it for last because it really was the worst. It makes me very thankful for WordPress
because I don't know if I've seen focus order that bad on a WordPress website.
I know. And I anticipated that being the problem. And it was also the catalyst for this because I'm in one of the Facebook groups where there was like a discussion about adding the marquee and people adding it and like their clients keep telling them to remove it. And then one day someone will at least let them keep it. I'm like, but no, listen to people. They don't want it. Stop trying to add it. So that was my reason for my first dive into these trends. And if it was a trend or is it a Show It thing? But no, it really is a trend. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I shared a link earlier before you had done your examples because someone had asked in the chat, what is a marquee? The womeninsoccer.org, which I mean, you could pull it up if you want to. This is a website that is in the WordPress.org showcase. And
See, that's got a little bit of that retro thing too with the light, with the colors too.
Yeah, it changes the mouse just like you were talking about, right? And then if you scroll down, there's a marquee there for like their Twitter and let's see, where is it?
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I'm supposed to try to click on one of those.
Just repeat
it. And it's so thin too.
I guess it does pause if you hover over it. I haven't tabbed through it. What I do know is that it has, so it repeats for anyone who can't see, Women in Soccer US with a Twitter icon and Women in Soccer with an Instagram icon over and over and over again. There's no pause button. But I do also know that those little icons don't have any alt attribute at all. Mm-hmm. So they're not ignored. They're like image. Ugh. And then the handle image. And then the handle.
No, this is an interesting one because it's kind of like that, like my analogy of like this one does feel like it got distilled down. And so this feels like what would get implemented on a regular basis of somebody trying to utilize the trends. Unless you have this like, you know, fancy showcase thing where people are taking all the care in the world to try to craft this really like masterful experience. This feels more like a regular old person making a website. This is what it's going to come out to be. And it's like click, but what happens if I click? Oh, and now how do I get out of here? You don't, you just click. Now I can't go back.
Yeah. Clicking opened an image gallery, I guess.
Oh boy. Now I'm just going
to
refresh.
I haven't tried. Like, is there a way to tab and get that image gallery, or is that just not available? But yeah. I mean,
no, and then
go ahead.
Well, something that's really interesting. So I've mentioned my sort of OCD. Sometimes it'll be really like innocuous, like not a really like it's not detrimental. It's not whatever. It's just is a weird thing that I do. Other people might do this too, but I'm like, okay, so this is a circle and that's a circle. So I'm going to put the circle in the circle and then now it's spinning. So now I'm just going to leave it here. I'm not consuming anything on your website. I'm sticking the circle cursor inside the circle and watching the circle move. Yeah, I'm spending a ton of time on your site, but I'm not getting anything from this website. So it's just these like little things that happen. And you're like, this circle, does the circle fit? Oh, can I get it to fit? Like, I just do these things where I get distracted. I don't know what kind of neurotype and neurodivergent combination happens, but there's these like little things that happen.
That's interesting because if that increases time on site and they see that in their Google Analytics, they might be like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
But in reality, you're just like trying to figure out what the website will do and getting distracted by that. And you're not actually coming and, I don't know, learning about how you can support women in soccer or whatever the goal of this website is. So,
No, that's interesting. So being so thin, I think is another, anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. I haven't tested it also to see how many of them there are. I thought it was really interesting when you were showing the different marquees on different places and how it would read out. And you're basically stuck in a loop or a keyboard trap for for some amount of time instead of only hearing, like in this, you should only hear two things, but yeah. I'm sure you're going to hear many,
yeah,
many of the two and things unless, repeated.
Even yeah. if you have good intentions, unless the platform that you're using to implement the marquee implements the code correctly, you don't have any way, at least in WordPress, if you're, you know, semi, you know, code competent, or you found a good code snippet that you can paste in, you can like make some minor adjustments to like hide repeated things. If the platform is like not giving you those tools to do that, to fix the platform problem, then you're just sort of stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mary said that for anyone who wants to, and there is a footer credit on there for both the designer and the developer. They said that if you go to the developer site, it explains more about what they were thinking, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
So we did have two questions or a question, and anyone feel free to put questions in Q&A, and I'll look back through the chat as well. Simon asked, what are some techniques to consistently update focus order to match visual reading order on some of these sites that work on drag and drop repositioning elements on the screen?
Well, I don't necessarily have firsthand knowledge of like what the options are that they give you, but I would first look to see if they automatically have like an order that you can, maybe it adds a number somewhere that in a field that you can remove, like see what options they give you first. I would anticipate that these platforms try to make it easy for people, and so don't provide that. Aside from contacting the platform people to tell them that it's a problem, maybe there's a JavaScript snippet you could find to like remove tab order. You'd have to sort of inspect the code, see what's going on. Maybe there's like a snippet you can throw in to at least try to fix the problem. I don't really know of necessarily an easy way to do that. Basically, the concept is the goal is that you're trying to just remove all of that tab order stuff. You don't necessarily need to like fix it, just like get rid of it. So however you can do that is probably going to be your best bet, aside from like moving platforms. I don't know. There's pros and cons on the platforms, and you have to just make that decision going into it, and you have to just spend a couple hours doing that pro con list about, you know, what you find to be important and what layout you're going to do, and if that's going to trip you up. Because certain layouts might not have that tab order issue, so that might not be a problem. But yeah, I would probably try to JavaScript snippet it if it were just me.
So the thing that I do see in WordPress quite a bit, and I don't know if you have one of those Bento websites you could just put up for a second, but I would say, like, I have noticed people, and maybe if we could just like see one of the grids, you don't have to play the video, but
there, it's got a few different ones.
Yeah, so maybe this one not quite as much, but like there was one I saw where you had to tab all the way down the first. Okay, so this one actually. So this is the Starface website. So even if you just pause it right here. So when you were tabbing through this, I noticed it has the menu on the left, and then it has three columns that span full width. Mm-hmm. And where this fails is that everything is, the tab order follows the column order, which means you have to tab all the way to the bottom in the first column before you can get to the top of the second column. And mm-hmm. it's not doing the normal focus order, which is left to right, top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this happen in WordPress websites when people are using either page builders like Elementor or Beaver Builder, something like that, or block library plugins, or even core column blocks, and they're not thinking about we have to go left to right. And so they end up just making three columns and stacking stuff in the columns, which then ends up means you go all the way right to the bottom. So one of the things, like to answer Simon's, like I think one of the big techniques here is that you have to have rows. And really, if this were me, I would think of this first thing we're seeing is one row with three columns. And then the next section that takes the full height of the screen is another row of three columns. Now it gets weird when you want these, like, what do they call that? Masonry layouts?
Yes.
So it's a little bit harder from a styling standpoint than if you just stick everything in one column, mm-hmm. because when you do rows, it wants to have an even break. But I think that's the fix that I've seen for these in order to force the tab order to go across the screen and not just all the way down is you have to use rows for each thing. I don't know.
Yeah,
if you have
I mean,
other
I would
ideas
be,
on that.
I feel like it would be something where the code itself is in the order. And then it's sort of, I feel like there used to be a masonry library that I used that would sort of just fit the boxes in, but it would sort of fit them in just sort of logically, where it doesn't do it in columns. It just sort of like floods them out in a logical sort of area and like vary the heights. I feel like something like that would be best, where you're sort of implement, but I don't know how you would do that page builder wise, because somebody's adding stuff visually.
I feel like there's more problems with it. Because if this was a query, like several of these look like products, they're not all products. But if you're just like, get me all the products, then you can CSS style them to have a masonry layout that goes across and still does mm-hmm. that. But one of the challenges that we face, right, is now when people are starting to use these builders to build out these pages, they've probably manually said, I want this product here and this product here, mm-hmm. right, that kind of thing. And then these also get a little bit odd on mobile. When you make them more narrow, they don't always stack in the order that you'd expect. Mm-hmm. And the one that you probably had at the top of the second column because you really wanted it above the fold is now like way below stuff you had mm-hmm. at the bottom of your page in importance.
Yeah, that's where like mobile first would be logical. I feel like sometimes mobile first became mm-hmm. like a buzzword and it just, you're like, but that doesn't always make sense. But that, in that case, having it in the order you want it in and then seeing what you can do, you know, JavaScript wise, that's probably what.
Yeah, the single column order.
I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know. I mean, I feel like if I could answer that question, I'd find somebody to help me build a platform that would do that. I feel like if I had the answer to how do you make somebody be able to visually do something, maybe it's, you know, we're going to try to JavaScript something on save that gives, that assigns an order to something, not tab order wise, but like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. No, somebody should find the answer for that. That's my call to action for everybody.
Andrea said a site like Starface looks like a site that might target someone younger than 5 years old, perhaps. Overall, the retro color schemes remind me of morning cartoons, Bing Boing Flash. Is that a factor, age of audience?
I think in this case, it's probably targeting people who were 5 when these designs came out. So they're targeting like people like us because it reminds us of that. Whereas people who are like 5 now aren't buying pore strips and pimple patches. They're, you know, looking at whatever the current trends are for kids. This is, you know, bringing us back to like Lisa Frank and whatever, all the stuff that was big when we were kids. It's now retro because we're now of the age to be able to go buy stuff, I think.
So the products on this website, for anyone who can't see, is they are like lift off pore strips and pimple yeah. patches. So yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, this is like, an example.
They've
of
got
like,
to at least be targeting teenagers to yeah. like early 30s. At some point, we stop having pimples and we have wrinkles instead, right?
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
There's like this age gap, right? Like maybe that is where the retros come in. The thing I will give this website is it has pretty decent color contrast.
You know, and I was going to mention that it has color contrast, but that pink is really just, I can't read that. Like that just, yes, it has, it actually, I think has technically more color contrast than the purple does, but I can actually read the purple at least. That pink is just rough for
sometimes
me.
Sometimes when you have too much, it can.
And that could be it too. It's next to that yellow. But I mean, yeah. even this one has an issue because they're using images as lists. Markers and they're just images, so it's not a list and it's reading out the image. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, we're back.
Simon put an example Windows 93.net in the, I don't know totally what it's an example of, so Simon, feel free to add extra context to the chat if you want. But this might be
See,
retro
like this,
design.
I mean, it's like fun.
Is this
right?
a retro
so, like,
designer? This really is just a retro site.
Right. Yeah. This is just like a fun thing. I think it should absolutely try to be made accessible, but this is more like a web app, right? So it's got a whole different set of requirements from like a traditional website that somebody's just going to go on and use. This isn't something that someone's like, okay, I need to buy a product, or I need to find out when you're, you know, this is just a fun thing to use. So you should make it accessible, but it's going to just have a totally different set of requirements than something else.
Than a regular website. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ricky had a question for you. Do you think WordPress being such a friendly framework makes it easier to implement inaccessible trends?
To an extent, yeah, of course. I think with, you know, the core WordPress, a lot of, you know, there's the accessibility team and there's like a lot of things that are pushing for an accessible experience. I mean, obviously we're a long way to go from the editing experience, but I think overall our effort is to try to make things as accessible as possible out of the box. And then so these things that you add on are going to start to bring you to those places that Squarespace and, you know, Show It and Webflow are all doing to just make it easy to click on a thing and add it to a page, whether or not it's accessible. And then it's, I mean, I'm working on a site now where you can do like remote buttons and, you know, all kinds of just weird patterns of things that you have to just independently test. So I think the thing that would make WordPress easier to implement inaccessible things would be the ease of creating plugins almost rather than the, you know, the friendly, you know, the fact that you can use page builders. Yeah. I mean, obviously those things have certain shortcomings, like Divi has problems, Elementor has problems, all these builders have their own accessibility concerns that need to be addressed. But I think from a larger scale, it's definitely the fact that you can just like Elementor has its problems, but then you're adding in this plugin that's creating these dynamic elements that's then have its own problems. And so I feel like with WordPress, it's that complexity thing that it automatically just introduces a ton of problems. I think it's probably a bigger issue for like Show It. It's just so easy to make an inaccessible website. Whereas WordPress is probably a little bit more difficult because, you know, hopefully we're trying to make things easy to use for everybody. So that's probably my initial thoughts on the matter.
Yeah. I do think anytime we're giving users the ability to like choose their colors or mm-hmm. put things in, then if there's not guidance in whatever tool they're using, then they won't know, because most people don't know about accessibility. I mean, gosh, half the developers that I talk to don't even know about accessibility. I feel like people are, you know, that are professionals in the web space are only really starting to learn it. And so I really do feel like there needs to be more onus on the authoring tool creators. Yeah. So whether they're a theme developer or a plugin developer or WordPress core itself, right, to put that guidance. So like the blog editor will warn you if it thinks you don't have good color contrast. It'd be great if Elementor and Beaver Builder and Divi and all these other things had that same kind of warning.
Yeah.
Because that's really ultimately what it's going to take. And then I think you are right. It's a low barrier to creating a free WordPress plugin. I mean, it takes slightly longer to get it in the WordPress.org plugin directory these days, now that we lost our mega reviewer of plugins. But but I do think while that is an amazing thing that anyone can put a free plugin out there, it is also potentially detrimental to accessibility, because there are a lot of people that are kind of just like experimenting and they're like, oh, this is a neat thing, I'm going to give it to everyone, but they maybe haven't thought about accessibility or don't even.
And I don't think that's a new issue either. I mean, even if it wasn't an accessibility focus that, you know, with the plugins, it was always like a security thing. That was always sort of the main thing that was like, oh, you know, pay attention to what plugins you add because, you know, you don't know who made them and it could make your site vulnerable. I feel like that's the message that was always out there for that. And then hopefully we can add on accessibility to all those conversations as well. But yeah, I think it's probably just as easy to make an inaccessible WordPress website, just given how like easy it is to do all so many different things. I think it's the most versatile, which, you know, I just think there's a lot more opportunity for these platforms that are locking people into their builder to just try a little harder to make things more accessible. And it's like, you have all these people working on this platform. It's like WordPress, it's a little bit, you know, slower. It's a little bit, you know, the benefit of these platforms is supposed to be that they have these big teams and powerful things and all, you know, they're, you're getting the best of the builders. And so then, you know, you should live up to that on all aspects of it. So I think that's the sticking point for me for a lot of those sites where it's like, yeah, it's great, but like, Show It was the first one to add the marquees. Like, why are you doing it? Don't do this. Don't do this to me. So yeah, I,
that's
I was,
a reason
I was
that
so
HTML
mad
tag
when I
doesn't
saw that.
Exist anymore. Yeah. Alice asks, for those of us that are new to WordPress, is there a page builder that you would recommend starting with over any others?
I really would at least encourage people to try out a bunch of them. I think you should try a full site editing theme. It depends on like what you're going for, right? If you're just making a regular site, I feel like there's a couple, like I think there's like Ollie theme. There's like a couple of themes, full site editing themes out there that sort of make it really easy to have a base that looks good and works good. And then you can build on that from there. It really depends on what you're trying to do. So if you've never used WordPress before, try to stick as close to WordPress as possible, because as you know, the documentation team starts putting out more content and as things start moving, it'll become more like the documentation that we used to have, where you can kind of look for anything on the internet and you don't have to worry about like, is it Elementor specific or is it, you know, this specific, or, you know, it's hard to answer that though, because everybody's preference is going to be different. So if you're really interested in trying to find the right thing for you, find a how to start Elementor guide and, you know, pay attention to the accessibility concerns of all these builders. And, you know, that's why I have a hard time advocating for the builders as somebody who's just starting out, because the things that you have to do to have the same baseline as a out of the box WordPress site is more. So like if you're a beginner, yeah, it's easy to spin up a Divi site or an Elementor site or a whatever site. They have guides how to start, but I've been doing websites for over 10 years and I'm working on an Elementor site now and I don't find it intuitive. People just are going to recommend what they're most comfortable with. And so they're going to call it the most intuitive. So I think you just have to try them all out and see what is easiest for you to edit, and then, you know, go out and find somebody who's an expert in that to then help you make it accessible if you have to. But yeah, my recommendation is try to find one of there's like two or three out there that are really solid full site editing starter themes and see if those work for you, because you can add in, I mean, a ton of different blocks and stuff that are going to be able to do what you need to do without complicating things. And then you can, you know, call on other people to help you build on that. That's just the easiest way that I've found to be able to get people started with stuff. It's just as complicated and unintuitive as any other builder. They're all going to be difficult and they all have their shortcomings. So if you're trying to get up and started quickly, just try a bunch of stuff for like a half hour each and see what one's the easiest to throw stuff together, but they're all going to have their own problems.
I think from an accessibility standpoint, I don't really know if we can definitively say that right now that any of them are the guaranteed like best start. I do know that I've seen, you know, all of them put some effort into accessibility at different times, but whether they always prioritize it or how much they're digging out of maybe their bad choices in the past now that they know better. And like how long that will take is probably different for all of them. We also tend to stick with the block editor, but that said, like I've built websites with Elementor. I will warn you, like almost all like templates or things out there are going to have, unless you find something that's tagged like accessibility ready, they're going to have some even like really obvious problems like incorrect heading order and things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, someone mentioned Bricks Builder. That's just the same as anything else. That's going to be just as easy to make accessible or not accessible as any of the other builders. Bricks is, I find, more for an advanced user. So as somebody who's like just starting out, I don't know that I would necessarily
recommend that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's going to be probably one of the more ones that'll make it more accessible because you have the capability to do so. Whereas elementary, you know, you can't touch the code necessarily, where Bricks is more just like a visual coding type thing. So those are two entirely sort of different types of platforms, I think. So,
yeah. So we only have a couple more minutes with our captioner. So real quick, Madeline was asking, outside of the Show It website itself, were those all built with WordPress, or were they built with a lot of different things?
I didn't focus so much on what was used to build them. I probably could go back and look at them because I was focused on the trends, and then we can translate that into different WordPress sites. Some of them definitely were built with WordPress. Some of them were built with Show It. Some of them were custom. That's as far as I know for the ones that I did look for. And you can also kind of tell based on how some of them are designed, what builder was used, but I don't know for sure. They definitely weren't all with WordPress. This was more like a general sort of trends to be aware of thing.
You know what? found myself wondering, I typed this in the chat as you were showing them, how many of them did you find on the Webby Awards website? Because I feel like when I go look at websites that win Webby Awards, half the time I'm like, these are horrible.
The marquee is notoriously on there. That is, they have that. Well, and the award, like the awards, the 3W's awards site, yeah, tends to have a lot of those too. This, mm-hmm. I guess it's like CSS awards or whatever. I never had, how do you emphasize 3W's? I don't know. But no, I actually found a lot of them on the trends websites themselves. Like these were the ones that were being showcased by the people making the lists as good examples for these things. And I'm like, well, but are they good examples of what you're trying to convey as trends? So I don't. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Last question, which I think probably could be easy, although slightly hard without seeing it. But Madeline has said, my employer site was recently built using WordPress and the donate button does not meet color contrast. And Madeline is curious how easy that would be to edit.
On WordPress?
And I know you haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. No, I have no idea how easy would it be. Technically, it could be extremely easy. I could just go in and add a CSS definition. It'll take me 5 minutes if they all have the same class. But I think it's just really going to depend on, you know, even builders, can make it easy because you can create templates for them. So if there's a global component that you're using that, you know, where it's like using a variable of a color, where it calls it like color one or something, maybe you can replace that color with something. I don't know. It could potentially take 5 minutes, or it could potentially be you have to go on every single page and change the button color of every single button. So I don't know. If you wanted a quick, easy fix for now, while you go back and change every single button individually, then you could probably do like an important CSS definition as a temporary fix to at least fix it for now, and then go back and change it. It's all about approach. I don't know. It depends on how many people you have working on it.
So Madeline, what I would suggest is you can join the WordPress Facebook group if you are not already in it. Post a link to your website and a very helpful person will probably tell you what you would need to do to fix the color contrast on that donate button.
That's a better answer.
That's all right. We're gonna wrap up. Can you tell people, Danielle, how they can get a hold of you if there's socials? Remind everybody what your website is again.
Yeah, so I'm at Queer Dev Person on most things. I know it's that for Instagram and Twitter and a couple other things. Generally, you can find me. Kinetic Iris is my agency, and Overnight Website is the overnight website service that I offer. So both of those have their own websites at .coms. And so at some point you can find me on all the places, or just search Danielle Zarcaro. I'm pretty much most places. You can just come look for me.
Well, great. Thank you so much. This has been a wonderful presentation. We're going to sign off. I'm going to wait a couple of minutes so I make sure that our captions and transcript get fully updated in case anyone's relying on that. So thank you again, and we'll see everybody back here in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.